You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built.
Goaltenders. Let's start at the very top with the Colorado Avalanche. There's change there, but is there that much of a change for that group?
Yeah, and to be honest with you, Strady, I don't know that I got them at the top, despite the fact they finished there at the end of last season. You know, it's kind of, I know Darcy Kuemper did not have a good playoff. And I know that, you know, like, they won a Stanley Cup, sort of. It's kind of hard as a goalie guy to say this, but it really wasn't about the goaltending, right? Like, let's be honest. They were fairly insulated. And despite the struggles of Kuemper and at times Francois in the playoffs, they still end up as a Stanley Cup champion. So I think it's kind of one of those ones where the team environment is so friendly that it's sort of hard to downgrade them significantly. And yet when I look at Darcy Kemper's regular season, like, he was really, really good. And as much as I believe Alexander Georgiev coming in there to sort of battle, well, almost by default be the number one, although Pavel Francouz, I think, is going to have something to say about that. I don't think it's going to be, you know, it's certainly, it might be more of a split than it has been in the past. Like, I think Georgiev in a bigger role could take a step. But when I look at the numbers of the past couple of seasons and compare them to Darcy, who, you know, overall over the past couple of years, like a top 10 guy adjusted save percentage, like, there's a drop off there. And so as much as they're a team that isn't necessarily leaning heavily on goaltending, it's hard to sort of from the outside look at it and not feel like the goaltending's taken a step back, to the point where, you know, out of the four divisions, I'd actually, you know, I mean, interestingly enough, this is a division with a Vezina Trophy finalist in UC Saros, a Vezina Trophy winner in Connor Hellebuck, a Stanley Cup champion in Jordan Binnington, and one of the most absurd playoff performances we've seen in the last decade in Jake Oettinger. And when I compare this division to the rest, you could make the argument that it might have the weakest goaltending top to bottom. So, you know, when I look at Georgiev and Francouz and some of the questions that surround those two, I actually sort of tagged them down around fourth or fifth in the Central Division.
Wow, fourth or fifth for the descending Stanley Cup champions. But you're 100% right. The goaltending wasn't the reason.
Again, hey, like, their save percentage at the end of the year could be at the top. Right. But again, a lot of it's going to be about what's going on in front of them. 100%. You know, I'm ranking the goaltenders and their performance.
No, I get it.
That's kind of where I've got them going in.
Yeah, you sound like someone who doesn't like the Colorado Avalanche, and that's totally understandable, and we'll move on, Kevin Woodley, to number one. Who do you have at the top of this Central Division goaltending ranking?
Well, we just mentioned UC Saros, and I've got the Nashville Predators at the top, and that's, you know, again, we talked about Binnington, we talked about Hellebuck, we talked about Oettinger. Like, Saros was that good. He was the best of that group by far this year. And even with Kevin Lankinen coming from Chicago, and his numbers were off the charts, sort of bad on the other end of the scale, even when you adjust for a bad defensive environment with the Blackhawks, like, it wasn't a good year. But I got to wonder, Strady, how much of that is cumulative. I mean, you know what? It's like you get stuck behind a bad team for long enough, and it's hard not to let bad habits creep into your game. We used to say this about Edmonton when they were a goalie graveyard. You know, if that backdoor tap-in pass gets through, you know, nine straight times, chances are you're leaning that way on the 10th one, and that's when you get killed as soon as you cheat in this league. So I think Lankinen will be better. They're still going to be, you know, a team that's going to lean heavily on Saros, and we saw him break down at the end of last year and not make it through and be healthy for the playoffs, so that's a risk here. But I think Lankinen can take some of the load off there a little bit. And more to the point, beyond him, if he were to struggle at all, I think Connor Ingram's ready for the National Hockey League as their number three. And then you look past Ingram in a league where we had 119 goalies get into a game last season, a record by a long shot for the NHL. Sometimes you need 4 and 5. And they've obviously got the high first-round pick from Russia, Yaroslav Askarov. He's going to be in North America in the American Hockey League. And also Devin Cooley had a really good sort of late-season stint in the American Hockey League. And so they're young. They've got some adjustments to make in that 4 and 5 spot. But I like their depth chart, especially in the number 3 spot, as good as anyone in this division. And when you go 1 through 5, you could make an argument that it's amongst the best in the NHL once you get down into that 3, 4, 5 spot. So I'm actually was a little surprised that they went out and signed Kevin Lankinen. just because I thought Connor Ingram was ready for the National Hockey League. But if they do manage to get him through waivers, he sure provides them with a nice insurance policy, whether it's Saros potentially getting injured or Lankinen struggling. So to me, the National Predators are at the top of the Central Division when it comes to goaltending performance.
Breaking down goalie ranking in this Western Central Division here, and Jason Greger Show. I am Jason Stradwick. He's Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine. Where do you rank then Jake Oettinger and his friends for the Dallas Stars?
I actually got them number two. So good call bringing them up next. The depth chart's a little thin. It's funny, this is a team that had enough depth last year to throw Jake Oettinger into the American Hockey League to start the season, and that's sort of disappeared. There's not a ton of depth beyond the top two guys in the NHL, but when your top two guys have shown they can play, you're less worried, right? Because if one guy goes down, chances are you can lean on a Scott Wedgwood a little more. And Wedgwood's a guy who I kind of identified last year as, like, I thought he could be a breakout candidate, and when you look at his adjusted numbers, for a guy who's been around for a while, a guy who hasn't spent a lot of that time in the National Hockey League, he had a really good season. And his adjusted save percentage last year actually ended up better than Jake Oettinger. So if I look at Jake's numbers over the regular season the past 2 years, you can actually downgrade them a little bit. Like, his adjusted is basically right around expected. He's just basically holding water in the NHL. But it's hard to ignore, as small a sample as it is, what he was able to do in the playoffs, and hard not to feel like he's going to be able to build on that a little bit this year in an increased role. So, and I think Wedgwood's a guy that gets overlooked a lot. I think he's ready for a bigger role. If it's more of a job share, just because there's some inexperience there with Oettinger, I don't know that you're going to want to put him into workhorse status right away. But with Wedgwood, he may be a guy that a lot of other people overlook, but like, I really like his game. The results and the underlying numbers have kind of pointed to him being maybe better than he was regarded for a couple of years now, and so I think he's really ready for that backup spot and gives them a nice 1-2 punch.
And then lastly, I want to get into Winnipeg Jets. They're a team that I always predict them to do better than they will, and they don't do well this year, finishing sixth in the Central Division. I recognize that's not all goalie related, but when you just look at the goalies, where do the Winnipeg Jets rank amongst the goalie union in the Central Division?
Yeah, like, it's hard. Like, Connor Hellebuyck had a down year last year, and did they ride him hard. Like, nobody played more, sort of saw more shots in the National Hockey League than Connor Hellebuyck. But his adjusted save percentage was just above expected. It was actually below Eric Comrie's in a much reduced role. And hey, that's part of the job, right? Like playing as much as you're going to play as much as they ask Connor Hellebuyck to play, there's going to be some dips. So even though, like, when I look at the numbers, if I were to just sort of do this on a math basis, they'd actually be behind the St. Louis Blues and fourth in the Central, I bumped them up just because of the pedigree and because we know what Connor Hellebuyck is capable of. The question to me, you know, again, they lost Eric Comrie, who posted a 920 as a backup last year. He was well into the positives, well above expected, and they replace him with David Rittich, who really struggled in his 1 year in Nashville. And interesting to me is, in a similar sort of environment, at least, maybe not defensively in terms of the quality of shots he saw, but in terms of the workload, like, David Rittich in a pure backup role, not playing very often behind UC Saros, struggled. He was like in the 80s in adjusted save percentage in the National Hockey League, minus 2.3%. And what's he walking into in Winnipeg? The same kind of role. He's not going to play a lot. And that's something that a lot of guys struggle with. And so Wade Flaherty, the goalie coach, has got his work cut out for him. He's got to get David Rittich up and running and comfortable in a situation where, at least last season, he didn't look very comfortable. And you know, listen, you don't need him much because you've got Connor Hellebuyck, but there are, you know, if you were to need him a lot more, if there were an injury or Connor were to miss, you know, 3-4 weeks with something minor, you know, there's a lot of questions around Rittich, and to the point where, like I said, like, you could almost coin flip statistically them and St. Louis. I know they lost Billy Husso, but I think I've said it for a couple of years now, like, Jordan Binnington isn't as bad as people in St. Louis wanted to make him out to be when Husso was taking over that job. Next to UC Saros, he had the second best adjusted save percentage in the Central Division last year. A little bit of a risk with Thomas Greiss coming in, a guy who struggled in Detroit, but I think better structure in front of him will help a little bit. And hey, listen, the Blues aren't great defensively, but everything's better structurally than Detroit. And when I look at the three hole and compare that with Winnipeg and St. Louis, St. Louis got Joel Hofer as a second-year pro coming off a really good rookie season. And Winnipeg has Michael Berdan. And Bertan, like, just athletic as all can be, but I'm not sure there's going to be enough structure in his game to hold water in the National Hockey League. I'm curious because there's a ton of potential there. I like Joel Hofer for more upside there. So, like, honestly, the Blues in Winnipeg, 3-4, I could go either way on that one. You could flip that either way and make that argument stick. So it'll be interesting to see whether Binnington or Hellebuck has the better season this year after, again, statistically, in a year where he was vilified, Jordan Binnington actually did have a better season than Connor Hellebuck last year.
Kevin Woodley, thank you, sir. Enjoy the rest of this beautiful week, and we'll catch up with you again next week, my man.
Perfect. Thanks, Freddie.